Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The decision to halt an investigation into suspected fraud by Prime Minister Andrej Babiš and members of his family is legally binding. The Czech Republic has ranked 24th out of 140 states in terms of quality of life, and the annual Social Watch report criticizes the Czech Republic for cheap labor, gender pay gaps, and inequality in access to education. The decision to halt an investigation into suspected fraud by Prime Minister Andrej Babiš and members of his family is legally binding since no one has lodged a complaint against it, a spokesman for the Prague State Attorney's Office announced on Wednesday. However, it may still be reversed by the country's Supreme State Attorney Pavel Zeman, who has 3 months to make a decision. The anti-government protest movement A Million Moments for Democracy on Wednesday urged the Prague State Attorney's Office to make public the full text of the decision. According to its leader Mikuláš Mináš, the movement still insists on Mr. Babiš's resignation. Another public protest against the government is due to take place at Prague's Letná plain on the 16th of November. The Czech Republic ranks 24th out of 149 states in terms of quality of life, according to a survey conducted by consultants Deloitte in cooperation with the non-profit Social Progress Imperative. The country climbed 2 places compared to last year's Social Progress, even though it received fewer points than in 2018. The Czech Republic made most progress in economic indicators. It finished ahead of the USA in the survey, in which Norway ranked first, followed by Denmark and Switzerland. The Czech branch of NGO Social Watch, an international anti-poverty advocacy group, has criticized the Czech Republic for cheap labor, gender pay gaps, and inequality in access to education. In its annual report for 2019, released on Wednesday, the group also criticizes the Czech government for not adopting any measures to reduce the effects of climate change. According to the report, the Czech Republic is lacking long-term strategies to solve these problems, and any improvement of the situation would be due to external influences rather than by the Czechs' efforts. The Czech Republic will not breach the agreement on friendly relations with Moscow by moving the controversial statue of Soviet Marshal Ivan Konev from its current site in Prague 6, as long as it finds a suitable new location for it, Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček said on Wednesday. Mr. Petříček also said he didn't know about any retaliatory measures Russia had warned to take over the decision of Prague 6 authorities to move the statue and replace it with a new monument to the liberators of Prague in 1945. The American C-5 Super Galaxy transport aircraft landed at Moshnov Airfield near Ostrava on Wednesday morning. The giant airplane will be one of the highlights at the upcoming NATO Days and Czech Air Force Days military show, which is to take place at the site on Saturday and Sunday. This year's edition of the event, which is one of the largest military air shows in Europe, will commemorate 70 years since the foundation of the North Atlantic Alliance and 20 years since the Czech Republic's accession to NATO. Last year, it was attended by around 220,000 people. Czech's financial literacy has slightly improved on the previous year, according to an annual survey commissioned by the Czech Banking Association. According to the index, Czechs picked up 57 points out of a possible 100. The survey also suggests that the number of Czechs who are saving for rainy days has increased. However, one-third of respondents couldn't survive on their savings for more than 3 months, and one in five would run out of funds in a month. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Thursday will be partly cloudy with daytime highs ranging between 11 and 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news. Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, a large-scale Czech radio survey finds 6 social classes in the Czech society. We take you on a tour of Emperor Franz Joseph's favorite bohemian sewer. And later in the program, we meet the co-founders of Ladies de Comics Czech branch. All that coming up, so please stay with us. What is the makeup of Czech society 30 years after the Velvet Revolution? That is the question which Czech Radio tried to answer by commissioning a large-scale sociological survey across the Czech Republic. The results show that rather than a simple division between the haves and have-nots, Czech society is made up of six social classes. One is quite unique in the European context. Tom McEncrow has the details.
The survey is based on the 2013 Great British Class Survey, which defined one's class according to the amount and kind of economic, cultural and social capital at one's disposal. Sociologists working with Czech Radio used the same indicators, but adjusted these to local conditions while also adding knowledge of foreign languages and computer skills as a capital asset in today's globalised and rapidly shifting society. The resulting study, which analysed the survey, found that, unlike in Britain, there is no sizable established elite class with high levels of capital in all measured criteria. Sociologist Daniel Prokop, who worked on the study, explains.
In the Czech Republic, the size of an elite class would lie at around 0.5% to 1% of the population. In our country, you either have people with a high income and property wealth who score low in the other categories, or the opposite, people who have the latter but not yet the wealth. There is not a significant group that has it all.
The two groups he describes make up 36% of the population, nearly two-thirds of which are termed the secured middle class, with above-average income and property wealth. The other 12% is defined as the emerging cosmopolitan elite. The highly educated and well-connected group tends to reside in the centres of large cities and works in sectors such as IT or finance. Its main hindrances in life are high property prices and mortgages. Nearly half of Czech society is made up of what the study defines as the lower middle class. One group among them is the traditional working classes, who tend to possess an average income and some property wealth, but score low in the other categories. They make up around 14% of this segment. Another group, which Mr. Prokop says is quite unique to the country, is the so-called class of local ties. It makes up around 11.8% of the population, and its members offset their low incomes by a well-established web of contacts.
This class, I believe, is also a result of society before 1989, when this sort of social capital was very important. The fact that we have a large number of small villages, given the size of our country, also plays a role. These people often live in the Vysočina region or parts of the central Bohemian region. You can't say that they are rich or poor because they have other resources rather than just income.
Just over 22% of society is made up of what sociologists working on the study have defined as the endangered class. 62% of these are women. The sizable group, which is defined by below average incomes and property ownership, is particularly endangered by job loss and divorce. At the complete bottom of Czech society lies a group defined as the impoverished class, which sociologists have likened to the precariat group of society, which was defined in the Great British Class Survey. This group is made up of all generations and is often threatened by property seizure. They do not possess the economic or social capital resources with which to improve their situation. According to Mr. Prokop, the study has exposed the diversity of the Czech population, which cannot be accurately divided in half by their political opinions.
It shows that everyone has different types of resources and that we should be more complex when describing society. It is good news in the sense that society is not so split as some election results may indicate. It is bad news in the sense that Czech society is increasingly dividing and that the Czech education system is solidifying this situation rather than helping social mobility.
Sociologist Daniel Prokop ending that report by Tom McEncrow. Just to the right of Prague's famous medieval astronomical clock on Old Town Square, where tourists congregate in droves on the hour to see the Walk of the Apostles, lies an attraction of an altogether different nature. For one thing, it's a mere century old, rather stinky, and only open to the public once a year. Brian Kennedy went along on the tour, so you don't have to.
Welcome to the Open Doors Day at the Prague Water Supply and Sewage Company. We are now in the so-called Foreign Entrance, built some 120 years ago by the engineer Lindley.
Of my own free will, I spent a sunny Sunday afternoon in the dank old Prague sewage network, some 9 meters below the spectacular Old Town Square. The modern 3,000-kilometer-long network, which serves the needs of some 1.5 million people, is hardly a tourist attraction. But the Szyszynski Vistup, or foreign entrance, is something special, or at least it was when built at the turn of the 19th and 20th centuries. As our guide explains, this particular entrance came to be known as the foreign entrance because Prague officials liked to show it off to visiting dignitaries, as it was among the deepest and architecturally appealing in Europe.
Emperor Franz Joseph I had it built so he would have something to boast about to the world. That's why it's called the foreign entrance. Franz Joseph himself never visited here, but high-ranking city and government officials sometimes did.
Szyszynski Vistup was in fact also designed by a foreigner, the English engineer William Lindley, who together with his sons built the first underground water and sewage systems in Central Europe and in some 30 cities across the continent, from Frankfurt to St. Petersburg. Although construction of an underground Prague sewers had begun in the year 1787, progress was sluggish until 1816 because homeowners bristled at paying for stretches that ran along their properties. By 1828, however, some 44 kilometers had been built, with 35 outlets emptying directly into the Vltava River. By the late 19th century, with the population rapidly growing, officials feared it was only a matter of time before infection and disease engulfed their fair city. On the 16th of July, 1884, representatives of the royal capital city of Prague opened a tender to do something about it. That effort failed, so a special sewage subcommission was established under the governor of Bohemia, later made a prince by none other than Emperor Franz Josef, and he chose one of Lindley's sons, William H., to do the dirty work. When I signed up for one of the free tours, which were fully booked hours after registration opened, I'd imagined I'd be donning a hard hat, holding a handkerchief to my nose, and keeping a wary eye out for sewer rats. None of that came to pass. The Szyszynski Vistup was damp, but surprisingly roomy, and replete with grand brick vaults that wouldn't look out of place in Victorian London, which stands to reason. Construction began in 1896 and finished in 1905. Although the true bowels of the Prague sewage system were designed less to impress than to get the job done, they are also surprisingly graceful and functional. Lindley's wastewater treatment plant served for more than 60 years before being largely replaced by newer lines.
Brian Kennedy with that report. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague International, where it's now time for today's main feature, brought to you by Brian Kennedy.
Ladies Do Comics is an international organization that promotes female comic artists and their work. I spoke with the co-founders of the Czech branch shortly after the publication of their new book, Comics Odieki, or Comic Witches. This anthology of essays and interviews about the genre, its history, and specific Czech development features a wild, eclectic mix of comics and illustrations by local female comics authors, many of whom poke fun at stereotypes. Teresa Drahoniowska was studying journalism and writing reviews of comics and graphic novels when she first met illustrator and comics artist Štěpánka Jislová some 6 years ago. She was writing an article about young Czech comic authors, and Štěpánka had just won first prize in a contest for her short story, The Tree. During that interview, Ladies Do Comics came up, and within a year, Tereza and Štěpánka had founded the Czech branch and begun holding annual symposiums for female comic authors. I began by asking them how they personally got into the comics genre.
Well, for me at the beginning, it was mostly about reading comics. When I was around 16, 17, I got into it somehow, but mostly into like humorous comics and so on. However, I started to write reviews for the books, even though probably I started to go deeper when I moved to Prague. And I actually met people around Czech comics, like young generation of artists and so on. I studied journalism, and through that I somehow had a chance to meet those people on events like Comics Fest, which was a regular comics event in Czech Republic till recently. And it was like a new universe for me. I was so amazed how creative those people are, how their books full of drawings are just unbelievable for me.
Štěpánka, what about you? How did you get your start in this area?
I was reading a lot of those typical adventure ABC Czech comics when I was a kid, but that wasn't really the gateway for me. I think that I started creating comics because I was really into storytelling. I really wanted to find more ways how to tell a story, and visual storytelling for me is like the complete way how you can actually like give it all, because as an author you are in control of the script but also of the visuals. And I spent years writing books and short stories, then I moved to drawing, but then again I thought like drawing and illustration is nice, but there is not enough storytelling. So for me, comics kind of encapsulates both of these things I really like doing.
Teresa, maybe you can tell us how the two of you met, and then we can all talk about Ladies Do Comics.
Well, 5 years ago, I was writing an article about young Czech comics authors. And through that, I got to Štěpánka, because Štěpánka is the winner of the competition CZ Comics. And we were doing an interview, and through that, we somehow touched the topic of Ladies Do Comics, because when I've met with Paul Grevet, who is a strong personality in a British comics, and he somehow presented me to Ladies Do Comics and asked me if it would be interesting for me to start a branch in Czech Republic. And when I've met with Štěpánka, it was like a clear thing for me that it's something that she could be really into together with me.
Štěpánka, how did it start? Where do you begin with a chapter of Ladies Do Comics?
We began with a simple blog, and we really thought that that was what we were going to do. We thought that maybe writing reviews, maybe doing profiles on the less famous female Czech comics artists is something that needs to have more space. But it all grew like so much quicker than we anticipated. Soon we were thinking about making a symposium, because that would actually be a place when all those comics artists could meet and create together. And from that, it was a really short step to making an exhibition from the comics that were created during the symposium. And once that was finished, we were like, oh, this was fun, a bit tiring, but fun, so maybe we can do it next year. And so we had our fourth symposium in June. So there was kind of a shift from let's do a blog, let's be more text-oriented, to let's do events so people can actually meet in person.
And this year is also different, because it's the first year that you've produced a physical print copy of some of those comics, and it's called Comic Witches, which is a great title. Teresa, tell me about the book.
Well, when I go back, when we were thinking about the projects we had on our symposiums, we were somehow sorry that we had only those exhibitions after symposiums, that only a certain amount of people were able to see the work of girls, and we had an idea to somehow collect it into the book where anybody could see all those comics pieces. However, and maybe it was also connected to the fact that, for example, we got a comics award Muriel in Czech Republic for like helping Czech comics. We were thinking about creating something bigger, putting more context apart only from those comic stories, to create some interviews to show the world of Czech female authors, not only now, but even in a history.
And what is the world of Czech female authors? How does it differ from the male world?
I think it's quite big, and it's getting bigger every year. We get asked this question quite often, like, are there any tangible differences between how male and female comics artists work? We think that they are mostly interested in different themes, but of course you can find the same level of quality and same maybe level of interest. We noticed that female comics artists are more interested in introspective stories. They tend to do a lot of autobiographies, and they are in general more intimate in their storytelling, whereas the men tend to do like these big stories, good versus evil. And we're not saying that you can't find these things in the stories of the other gender, but maybe if we were to say that there is some kind of a line between, then it's probably here.
Stepanka, you won a prize that you won for your comic.
Tezet Comics.
Tezet Comics. When was that, and can you tell me something about the theme, the mm-hmm. book itself?
That was actually back in 2013. Czech Comics Award. It's specialized at giving space to comics artists who are still studying at university, and it's mostly focused on short stories. My story was called The Tree, and it was like this really short story about a boy who meets ghost and sort of tries to keep this friendship going, even though well, it can't. There was this whole aura of the atmosphere of the summer that has to end. I really liked that theme back then. I ended up winning the first place, which was a really big deal for me back then, especially because the main prize was a full paid trip to Angoulême, which is the biggest European comics festival. And on one hand, this was a huge boost to my like professional self-esteem, and on the other hand, I got to see what the actual worldwide scene looks like. There was like tons of inspiration, books and experience.
Is it quite difficult for comics of any gender to get actually published in print form? Because from what I've read, an awful lot of it is online.
I think that if we are talking about like recent times, for many Czech authors, it's like a huge step that they would love to have a book, but they actually are not sure how to get to that point, and maybe they are a bit scared of the idea of having a print book. So in Czech comics, and mostly for young authors, it's usually about like shorter stories, because there is quite a lot of magazines or areas where they publish it, like Arc magazine, for example, or Vieir. And maybe they are mostly trying to use the space which is not only Czech, but international, because online publishing is way more open for that.
It needs to be said that this is not only the question of, let's say, the author's self-esteem or his or her portfolio. I had an interesting conversation with people who work in publishing houses, and the reality of the Czech publishing industry is that it's actually much, much cheaper to take a foreign book, translate it, and publish a comics by a foreign author than to invest into making a completely original book from a Czech comics artist. They need to think about the money too.
Unfortunate. What's next for Ladies Do Comics, Czech Republic? You've got the book. Is there another one already in the works?
Well, as Stepanka mentioned, we just got the last symposium in June. And after each symposium, we have an exhibition, usually here in Prague, but also in other cities around the Czech Republic. So that's what we are currently working on, preparing everything with a new group of female comic artists, because every year we have a different people there. And we are also focusing on workshops or presentations. We recently just had a presentation about gender in Czech comics, which was even more interesting than we anticipated at the beginning. So that's another area of our focus. And of course, we will see if there will be a next book, but somehow the concept of comic sodejky is or may be promising.
You said that this last symposium about gender was especially interesting. What made the symposium so interesting? What did you learn?
For us, I think the goals of the symposiums were to connect female artists, and usually that's also something that they appreciate the most, that they had a week where there was no intruders, not only people, but anything, work, studies, and so on. And we all have the space to create a story on one topic. We can cooperate, we can inspire ourselves together, and also we, of course, are creating friendships there too. So usually that's the strongest area. And maybe one thing, we were probably even a bit surprised how strong the feeling is the community of women together, how it can be safe for us, how it can be inspiring, and creating the stories itself, like sharing our experience.
We have a different theme each year, so the comics are very different for each exhibition. And we always try to make space for discussions between the artists on the topics of comics, gender, feminism. And for us, it's always very interesting to see all those different takes on these topics, which we somehow find very certain, or for us, they're not like that surprising. But when we see, like, for example, the younger generation, how they look on feminism, how they maybe feel like they don't need it, or they are not even comfortable with calling it feminism. And on the other hand, there is, for example, the older generation who can't really get a good grip on what it means for them. So that part is actually really interesting for me.
I'm curious about the symposium. How many people participate in it? And is there a review process of their work, and they apply, and do you have funding from somewhere for this, or how does it all work?
So usually there is around 8 people on each symposium, including me and Štěpánka. Each day we try to discuss the stories that each of us has, and we somehow go together through the process of creation. As Štěpánka mentioned, usually we try to have the discussion also about the topic, about the different views, because it's something we try to empower and create space for different opinions and views. We don't have any special funding. We try to ask for some money from Czech Republic and so on, but at the end we found out that it's easier for us to actually work and make money ourselves and invest them into it. So that's the way we chose at the end.
And the review process is very simple. During the year, we try to see as many interesting exhibitions as possible, go see festivals, maybe talk to artists we meet there. And when the time is right, which is usually about January, February, we sit down, go through that list, and we try to make the best possible combination of all ages and styles so that the people can teach each other something, but they still could work well on the people level, let's say. Fortunately, lately we are getting a lot of emails, girls writing us, hey, can I be part of the next symposium? So we somehow get, like, the supply is never ending. If there would be one thing that I would personally want to maybe tell to people who are starting with comics, especially who want to tell their own stories, is really stick to your own stories, because there are a lot of tendencies to do adaptations or to just follow the same story structure as we had for many years, which means that the same types of characters will always end up as the main character, and maybe we've already told a lot of stories that are kind of the same. So find time. I know it's not easy, but find time to really tell your own personal story, whatever that is.
Štěpánka Jislová, ending that report by Brian Kennedy, which brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague International. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.